I decided to go at the last minute. A friend had purchased tickets at a local head shop and had extras. A friend of a friend was driving to the festival, and there were several of us in the car. The thing to remember is that there was never anything like this before.
Rick there, reading from his journal about events some 50 years ago.
Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going, Mr. Coleman?
Rick Blair was 19 years old in 1969. It had been the Summer of Love 2 years before, and the youth of America felt like they were winning in their cultural war against the establishment. Protests against the Vietnam War, the draft, and racial discrimination were everywhere. Into this came the news of a 3-day music festival in upstate New York, Woodstock.
My parents weren't crazy about it, but they knew that, you know, they couldn't really stop me.
Rick was a New York kid brought up in the Bronx and studying art in Queens. He was in love with the music of the day and hell-bent on immersing himself in the New York counterculture scene.
We were all kind of what you would call hippies, I guess, although we preferred the word freaks. I was fairly political, I guess, but I really was into the more hedonistic and more exploratory and investigatory aspects of that consciousness. So I was out all the time doing all these wild, fun things in the company of my peers.
Rick and a close friend got a lift from some fellow students, driving through the night into the idyllic countryside of upstate New York.
Many fine girl I tried hard to know, but I think I never tried enough.
We drove up there like after midnight prior to the first morning, and we got pulled over by cops in the middle of the night. They had us follow them into a cove, and they harassed us. They kept saying, who's got the drugs? We know you guys have drugs. None of us had any drugs, but several of us had long hair, so we were harassed. They also kept saying, insisting that they never heard of the Woodstock Festival. You know, no, we don't know anything about any kind of hippie festival, you know. So we were so happy to get when they let us go. And they said, don't let it happen again. We weren't sure what specifically wasn't supposed to happen again.
The roadside confrontation showed how the battle lines were drawn across the country. But as morning arrived, Rick and his friends felt like they could be arriving at the start of a new dawn for their generation. Something Rick captured in his journal about that day.
We are stars.
As we got closer to the site, we began to see cars parked everywhere until traffic was completely stopped by vehicles that had been abandoned. And we had to leave our car in the middle of the road as well and walk the remaining miles. As the sun slowly rose, we began to see dozens and then hundreds and then thousands of people, most of them young and hairy like us. See, no one anticipated the amount of freaks that showed up. In fact, even though it was 2 years after the Summer of Love, everyone seemed pretty astonished that there were so many of us. I mean, I had never been among that many people. I guess probably most of those people hadn't. Suddenly, you're just surrounded everywhere. This is kind of par for the course now. We've had so many musical festivals subsequently. But at the time, nobody ever saw anything like that. And just the feeling, I just remember the feeling of the breeze, you know, in upstate New York, just wafting through. And just feeling so good about things and feeling this sense that this was definitely the beginning of something, something we can follow, something we could determine and follow and grow with. I guess also, you know, it was kind of beginning of my life as a grown up. And, you know, this was like kind of a great adventure.
The organizers had expected around 50,000 people to come. But to quote Joni Mitchell in her song Woodstock, by the time we got to Woodstock, we were 500,000 strong, and everywhere was a song and a celebration.
We are stardust. We are golden. And we got to get ourselves back to the guide.
they kept making announcements from the stage about how the news was carrying this and what the media was saying. So we found out that this was, quote unquote, the biggest little city in America at that point. We found out that the New York Thruway was completely closed. I don't think the quote unquote straight establishment realized how many of us there were. I don't think they realized that we could get together and do this without any pain or aggravation or violence.
At first, the newspapers reported Woodstock as if it was a humanitarian disaster. But inside the festival, everything was groovy.
The hog farm, Wavy Gravy's commune, passed out plates of granola-type stuff early in the morning. It was simple food, but it stuck to one's ribs. Wavy Gravy was also a cool and reassuring voice from the stage, making announcements through the 3 days. Don't worry, it's just bad acid. You can go to the bummer tent and they'll help you. I should mention while I remember it that the sound was terrific. In the course of those 3 days, I was all over that festival, top to bottom. It sounded great everywhere.
By the time we got to Woodstock, we were half a million strong.
Musicians were the voice of Rick's generation. They spoke for the counterculture and gave birth to the language of hippies. The crowd and musicians fed off each other.
This is about all of us. I love you people.
The first powerful thing I remember is John Sebastian, who had been a favorite of mine since The Love and Spoonful. And he was just so warm and incredible. If you watch the movie, he says, everybody just love each other and pick up some garbage before you leave. You know, it was like your grandmother was there.
I'll paint rainbows all over your blue. You're all beautiful.
And then Santana, I remember, being so incredible and so dance-worthy. He said that he felt his guitar, the neck of his guitar, was turning into a serpent, and he had to somehow ride it out, you know? So, I mean, I imagine that must have been horribly uncomfortable, and then walk out onto a stage looking at 500,000 people. I mean, dear Lord. But to us, every band just sounded tremendous, you know? After a while, I just, like, nodded. It was just too much. You know, I just crashed. We had sleeping bags. At that point, we were back on the hill, so the stage was a little dot. And in the middle of the night, you know, I've subsequently, you know, I love the Grateful Dead, but at that time, I don't think I was familiar with them. So they were on in the middle of the night, and that just sounded like some weird, interesting avant-garde feedback. My friends and I probably crashed for like maybe 2 hours. But then, you know, you got to remember, again, we were 19 and, you know.
As the night darkened before the dawn, the music was still going strong. And Rick and his friends made their way back down the hill for a morning that no one who was there can ever forget.
The most dramatic for me was The who came on. I was right near the stage at that point, and they came on just as the sun was starting to come up.
In the pre-dawn light, Roger Daltrey sang out to the crowd, "See me, feel me."
And then, as the sun came up, there was Jefferson Airplane. And I remember Grace Slick said, "Well, you've heard all the other groups. Now it's time for some morning maniac music." And they played this, just this great, great set.
outside, reports on Woodstock began to shift as parents all over the country who had heard from their kids about how happy they were to be at the festival began pressurising the newspapers to change tack. Nothing could stop the good vibes, not even when a thunderstorm struck on the final day.
So we were down right in front of the stage at that point, and they stopped the show for a while, and we could look back onto the hill and see this huge apocalyptic looking gray cloud coming down, barreling down. And the winds and the rain followed. There were people who were hanging on to the and climbing the sound towers. So the announcers kept saying, get off the towers. And you could see the towers swaying back and forth. And then the sun came out like boom. And yeah, after that, it was fine. Everything was lovely.
Hippie culture would explode out of Woodstock across the whole of the United States and around the world. An iconic moment came right at the end of the festival on the final morning of August the 18th, as Rick recalls reading from his journal again.
At the end of the 3 days, 3/4 of the field had emptied out as people were anxious to try and figure out how to get home. Throughout the 3-day concert, I kept running into people I knew. We were all gathered together now, watching Hendrix's remarkably poignant reading of Star Spangled Banner.
This was Hendrix's distorted, mutated, heart-wrenching version of the Star Spangled Banner that spoke to the war in Vietnam, the draft, and the racial divide. When it was broadcast outside the festival, many were outraged.
We all knew what he was doing, understood why he was kind of reconfiguring the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, this was a guy who had been in the service. He'd been a paratrooper, Jimi Hendrix, you know? So you could hear the bombs bursting in air in that, you know, the way he played and that feedback. It was so dramatic and so poignant. I remember feeling like I was really tired, but didn't want to go home, you know? I just wanted this to keep happening.
Woodstock was a festival that defined a generation, and Rick went home feeling that everything had changed.
You know, there's this old American song, how you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? And that's always the way, like, how can you keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris, you know? And that's always the way I felt about the Woodstock Festival.
There's never been another festival quite like Woodstock. The world remade on a muddy farm for hundreds of thousands who were there and millions more who pored over the films and albums that followed.
There was something liberating in my thought processes. There was something liberated or unlocked in my thoughts and my heart just being around so many like-minded people. That in itself. Also, how of course, we all knew music was awesome, but how incredible to hear, like, all this great music assembled together. That was a really positive feeling.
Rick went on to become an artist and teacher, and he's in the middle of work on a graphic novel about Woodstock based on his journal that will pass on the memories and message of 3 days of peace and music to the next generation.
The festival lives in my memory as being overwhelmingly exciting, definitely the beginning of something big and wonderful. A changing of the guards, a big time inducement to spend one's adult life in the pursuit of art, magic, romance, and adventure. A splendid time was had by all.
This is Ashley Byrne remembering Woodstock 50 years on for DW.